Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
Okay, a couple of movies, Loveless and Operation Odessa. Let's start with Loveless. What's this about?
Loveless is fantastic. This joins Phantom Thread with me so far for the best films of 2018 thus far. It's absolutely stunning. It's the new film from a Russian director. His name is Andrei Zivinnytsev. And all of his films have been excellent. He debuted with a film called The Return, and his most recent film was a film called Leviathan. Every film he makes is excellent. He's a master craftsman. But this is his best film, as far as I'm concerned. It's about divorce. It's about relationships and their effect on children. So at its most basic, you could say this is the Russian Kramer versus Kramer you didn't know you've been waiting for, because it is a heavy, heavy divorce drama. So Zenya and Boris are a 30-something professional class, attractive couple who live in a region near Moscow. I had to sort of do my research after the film, but I gather that Moscow, outside of central Moscow, is composed of 125 administrative districts. So I guess we would call them suburbs, but they have their own councils, I suppose, like our councils. But there are 125 of them. So they live in one of them, and it borders a forest, and their district is essentially composed of masses and masses of concrete high-rises that are all identical. And to our mind, we see them and we kind of think projects, or, you know, government-subsidized or government-built housing, which obviously everything there is, but they live quite well. Like, inside their apartment, it's upscale. They're aspirational, doing well as a couple. As I say, they're probably in their 30s. And they are at the end. They are absolutely at the end of their relationship. They're waiting to get divorced, or they have been officially divorced. But what they are waiting to do, and they're very much about to do as the film starts, is finally move out on each other. But as the film begins, they still live in an apartment together along with their 12-year-old son. And the film begins with them having a shocking argument, like the kind of argument that you really only have with someone you know you're never getting back together with. So you're saying the meanest possible things because your only intention is to hurt. And this argument has repercussions that then reverberate throughout the film. And the film at times plays like a thriller. At times it plays simply as a very honest and heavy human drama. And it is also absolutely fascinating as a portrait of modern Russia for those of us who live outside Russia, because it is so specific. And I have no doubt, with being the work of this director as a writer-director, I have no doubt it is not only specific, but it is also precise and real about a class of people that we don't often see. I mean, when we do go to see Russian cinema, we very often get historical dramas. We very often get dramas about the poor or the oppressed or the revolutionaries, or we get exposures of corruption at high levels. But this is just about normal people. He works in sales behind a computer, so he's got a very good job, but he's not part of the scamming class, the corrupt class. She is a beauty technician, so she has a good job in a beauty therapy salon, and they do well. And it's just really interesting to see Russian lives at this level. Now, as I say, it is a very heavy drama about breakups, about divorce, and the protagonists, the two leads as characters, are awful. You know, people at that moment in their lives are pretty awful to be around, and yet the film manages to keep you in with them, because even as you dislike what they're doing, you can always recognize yourself in them. They are never caricatures of awfulness. You can always think to yourself, well, I might not have done that in that way, but I've certainly had those thoughts, or I've certainly said those kind of things to people. It's always connected to the real, even if you're seeing people at their worst. Basically, the repercussions of their argument is that their son goes missing, and they have to search for him, but neither of their hearts are in it. And so as their search expands, we meet various other characters, police, volunteers, and you start to see people involved in other aspects of Russian society who are much, much nicer. and who might, you know, do more to aid the search than these two people themselves.
Okay.
There is some comedy, but it's not a lot. It's pretty heavy going, but it's never oppressive, partly because it's absolutely stunning. This is the most beautiful film I've seen all year. Mm-hmm. It takes place, I guess, in autumn and then into winter. And so you've got these forests outside these windows that are full of the leaves that have just fallen, and then the snow comes and there's a river and there are lakes, and it is massively beautiful in a very, very bitter, bitter way. It is so Russian, I can't tell you.
Okay. Well, it's called Loveless, all right, from the Russian director who directed Leviathan, which I did see a few years back, Leviathan.
Very good, huh?
Pretty amazing movie, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Very powerful. All right, now, we've got Operation Odessa.
Yes.
Now, what's all this about?
Well, we've got a Russian theme tonight. Operation Odessa is a new documentary on Netflix, which you can get it on Netflix now. It's brand new, and it is about as rollicking a documentary you can get about heavy criminals. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially a story told by three criminals. One is called Ludwig Feinberg, who's known as Tarzan. One's called Juan Almeida, and one's called Nelson Tony Yester. And basically, the film is almost like a joke. It's literally like a Russian strip club owner, a black market car dealer, and a drug dealing killer try to sell a Russian military submarine to a Colombian drug cartel.
As if that, you really?
Shenanigans ensue.
Yeah.
And it's all true. I mean, it is true. But this is the kind of story that comes out of Miami in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The more I see and read about Miami in the 80s and 90s, and I've digested a lot of it, there have been a lot of films made about that era of Miami, the most famous, of course, being Scarface, the more it just seems that it was lawless, that you could really kind of get away with anything. So this Russian guy, Tarzan, goes there from Russia, opens a strip club, calls it Porky's. After that series of films of the early 80s, calls it Porky's. So all the Russians start going to his strip club. And of course, they're getting rich from criminal activities. So they want to buy the kind of cars no one can buy. Black market cars. Cars coming from all over the world. So this guy, Juan, he sells them to him in this club. And then gradually they meet this guy named Tony. He's a killer. He came over to Miami in the Miami boat lift, that big boat lift when they all went over to Florida from Cuba in 1980 when Castro opened the prisons and sent them all over, all the criminals over. And he quickly realized that the way ahead in America was to get into the drug trade and start killing people. So he starts hooking them up with the Colombians because the Colombians want nice cars too. And then the Colombians start saying that they wouldn't mind some helicopters. So they start trying to sell them helicopters. And ultimately the Colombians say, well, you know what would be really good, really effective in getting massive amounts of cocaine from Colombia to the United States?
A submarine.
It's a submarine. Can you get us a submarine? So while this is happening, the Soviet Union falls and they discover that all of Russia is essentially
for sale.
And they start going over and trying to construct this deal. And watching these guys tell this story, it is hysterical. It is like the three great storytellers telling the great story of their life. Because you couldn't cast these guys better. I have no doubt that Hollywood is going to remake this film as a scripted feature.
Okay.
But they'll never get actors to be more colorful than these actual guys. Tarzan is everything you want in a Russian criminal who opened a strip club called Porky's. He's fat, he's constantly smoking, he's tasteless, but he's warm and generous and funny with a boyish twinkle in his eye, but he looks like he's going to die of cholesterol in about 2 seconds. Juan, who's the used car dealer, is just as smooth as silks. He could sell, you know, he could sell a piece of coal to a chimney sweep, but he's also kind of sleazy and awful too, and fat. And Tony, the one who's an acknowledged killer and drug dealer, he gets interviewed in a plane, quote unquote, somewhere in Africa, because he's been on the run from the police, the FBI, and the Colombian drug cartels for 30 years. And they found him. And he is literally, you don't know whether he is inspired by Tony Montana of Scarface, played by Al Pacino, or vice versa. But you see that they've both inspired each other since over the years, this guy talks and sounds just like Al Pacino's character in Scarface. He's swearing constantly. He's too smooth. He's too rough. He's just like him. And he's built his own sort of, you know, he's built his own myth while he's been in exile for 30 years.
Okay, all right. This is a little from Operation Odessa.
Tony can be extremely dangerous if he needs to be. If you cross him, he'll deal with you, and he's very unforgiving.
Hey, I never have enjoyed killing anybody. I just want a few dollars. But when somebody had to go, somebody had to go. You know, that's how it works.
That's how it works.
It's incredible. If you, for the first 5 or 7 minutes, I literally wondered whether it was a hoax, you know, a mockumentary, because these guys are that amazing as characters. And by the time you meet Tony, who you know has killed people, you just jaw is on the floor.
Okay, so it's a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
So it's available on Netflix. But yep. you think, well, Netflix usually spend a lot of money on these things, don't they?
Yeah, I think this one was made for Showtime in the States, but we here in Australia, it's a Netflix film and only available on Netflix.
Right.
I don't know how much they needed to spend on it, because it's really three people telling the story. There's a lot of archival footage, footage from the period, but it's just the access to these guys is amazing, and how it's structured, it's very, 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 very clever. There's a whole sort of subgenre, I suppose, of films about the drug trade that came out of Miami in the 80s and 90s, which is kind of referred to now as the cocaine cowboy type of film.
Well, exactly. I mean, Tom Cruise was in one, wasn't he?
Which, yeah, American Made.
American Made, and there was Narcos, so the TV series, which was brilliant, about Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, all that stuff. So if you like any of that stuff, you will love this.
Okay. Operation Odessa. All right. Stars, Loveless, the Russian film?
5 stars out of 5.
Wow.
You mustn't miss it. That's on good. The big screen.
Okay. And Operation Odessa?
3.5.
3.5. Okay, good stuff this week. Go and see Loveless by the sound of it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Thanks, CJ.
Thanks.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.